Without tobacco, Kit knew he would never survive Cambridge. The university would have destroyed him otherwise. The relentless pace, the always rising stakes. One arcane lecture after another, endless pages of Greek readings that became no less bewildering with time. And, beneath it all, the pervasive fear of falling behind, of falling to pieces, of publicly confirming what the fellows all privately believed. That whatever scholarship the master of the college had conferred upon him, Kit Marlowe didn't belong here, should never have come. But once a wisp of smoke curled up in his lungs, none of that mattered. At least for the night. Tobacco unwound his nerves like a worn shirt, turned soft and loose, trailing easy threads to nowhere. It changed nothing, of course. Kit's presence at Corpus Christi College remained as provisional as ever, the fellow's condescension as irritating. But as the smoke drifted between his lips and up to the ceiling, a shimmer in the setting sun that seemed peripheral, manageable even. He settled against the bedpost with a sigh. Through the haze, his room felt more like Elysium than the half-furnished dormitory of a master's student, particularly given the company. Tom slouched on the other end of Kit's bed, his back against the wall beside the window. Leaning sideways, he grasped for the dark glass bottle resting against Kit's thigh. The movement brought him into the beam of sunlight and made his almost silver hair shine gold. His outstretched fingers missed his target by half an inch. "Come on," Tom said, voice strained with the stretch. "Don't make me beg." When Kit passed the bottle over, the ends of Tom's fingers brushed Kit's palm, causing a momentary thrill that Kit tried hard not to think about. Tom took a healthy swallow, then grimaced and looked at Kit as if he'd been tricked into drinking piss. "God's blood, this is terrible." Kit laughed. Tom was more right than he knew. "You want better? You buy it," he said, letting his next drag linger. He expected Tom to resume his former slouch against the wall, now he'd realised the bottle wasn't worth sharing. But Tom, intentionally or not, had instead moved closer. He sat with one leg bent to his chest, his biceps on his knee, watching the bottle with suspicion. With his back against the window now, the light cast his face in shadow, but illuminated his edges, making him look like a fresco or a gilded saint. There remained less than a foot between them. If Kit hadn't known better, he'd swear Tom was doing this on purpose, just to toy with him. He couldn't think straight like this. "Do you know what this tastes like?" Tom said, addressing the bottle. Kit did. He grinned. "Salvation." Tom blinked. "Communion wine," he said. "Honestly." "God's blood, indeed," Kit said. He ducked the half-hearted blow Tom aimed at his head. "If Rector Harvey doesn't notice, what's the harm?" "You wouldn't," Tom said. "You're lying." "I never." Kit pressed one hand to his chest in melodramatic offence. Tom raised his eyebrows. "All right," Kit said, ceding the point. "But I wouldn't lie with you." The words had barely left his mouth before Kit wanted to die for having said them. What right did he have to consider himself a poet when he couldn't even form a sentence to his best friend without courting disaster? His ungodly, handsome best friend, the one sitting 6 inches from him, backlit in gold. As Tom tilted his head, the shadows on his face shifted, leaving one plane in shadow and one bathed in yellow. "Wouldn't you?" he asked. "Never took you for a man with scruples." "I'd lie with you, if I had to." Kit flushed. He didn't know if this was from embarrassment or something else, and he refused to interrogate the question. Tom's expression was unreadable, as if he had never heard of such a thing as double entendre.